This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham in for Cynthia Canty. It has been 2 years since those protests. That's when the legislature in lame duck session passed Michigan's right to work law. It went into effect a few months later. Lawmakers and the governor argued it was only fair that union workers could decide whether they actually wanted to pay dues to the union. They also assured us that businesses would move to Michigan if it became a right-to-work state. Union leaders and others said, look, let's call this what it is, a ploy to weaken unions and a maneuver by Republicans to defund unions, which often give to Democratic candidates. The question is this, what effects these 2 years later have we seen since right to work came to Michigan? Joining us to discuss that is Patrick Anderson, CEO of Anderson Economic Group, and Charles Ballard, an economics professor at Michigan State University. So I've read that last year union membership and raw numbers actually went up a little bit, although because of greater job growth overall in the state, the percentage is a little lower. It's hovering around 16%, just above 16%. Just recently, Emily Lawler at MLive reported Sparrow Home Health Nurses voted to unionize. The American Federation of Teachers picked up some numbers. So, Patrick, what's that tell you about unions and the right to work?
It tells me that the effect of right to work is pretty much what we predicted 2 years ago and 4 years ago. Right to work, this simply that it allows unions, nothing stops people from organizing unions, but it prevents unions from compelling others to pay dues if they don't want to. So it's a voluntary union. Clearly the effect of that is it weakens the ability of unions to compel other people to pay dues. That's explicit. I think that's a moral issue. A lot of other people do too. At the same time, it unavoidably affects the political power of unions because they can't compel people to pay dues who don't willingly do that or voluntarily do that. In terms of the economics effects, it's pretty much exactly as we expected. It sent a signal across the country that Michigan's business climate was improving. It sent a signal that the power of organized labor unions was in decline. And it sent a signal that it was a little bit better business climate, particularly for companies that did work in unionized industries.
We'll take a look at some of those issues in a little more depth later. Charlie, are the unions at this point hurting any more because of Michigan's right to work?
Unions have been in decline for a very long time, for better or worse. 50 years ago, 45% of Michigan's workers were members of a union. It's declined essentially steadily to, as you mentioned, about 16% now. Patrick mentioned three times. He mentioned it as a signal. He never said anything about any actual jobs coming to Michigan, and that's because there is scant, if any, evidence that there's really been any change. The reason for that is unions were already weak, and if you're anti-union, that's a great triumph, and if you're pro-union, that's a sad thing. Unions have been losing ground for a very, very long time. The right to work law passed 2 years ago was not a sudden shift. Rather, it was a sort of a ratification of something that had already happened. When we became a right-to-work state, we had already sunk to the levels of unionization that many of the longtime right-to-work states, like, for instance, Louisiana, had a few decades ago. So for better or worse, unions are not very strong. I was at the governor's Economic Outlook luncheon last week. I asked specifically, any effect of right to work? And they said none that they could detect.
How can we determine, for both of you, how can we determine if we've attracted any employers and jobs because of right to work? Because most of that information was anecdotal. The governor and some Republican leaders said that companies had approached them and said, you know, we're worried about you not being a right to work state. And now that that's changed, are we going to be able to measure it if it's just all anecdotal evidence?
I think Charlie's observation of what I said is exactly correct. I said it sent a signal because it does send a signal, and there's scant evidence of exact jobs coming here because there's scant evidence of exact jobs coming here. There's a couple reasons for that, and the most prominent is Michigan was off the list for a lot of large manufacturers in particular. Now it's back on the list. It takes those kind of companies a few years to actually consider moving jobs here, and so I think the effect goes over long term. And the other part, second reason, is that unions have not been strong in the service industries or the areas of the economy that have been growing. And there's a bunch of reasons for that, including the preferences of the workers in those industries, including the organization and technology in those industries. That's where the majority of the job growth is. And so if you look out there, you wouldn't expect, and we never predicted, that the passage of right to work would have an immediate measurable effect in terms of employment. That was unlikely. The primary effect is it sends a signal, and it also changes the terms for individual employees that, because of their own views, do not want to pay union dues. And it's a very big effect for them. But in terms of aggregate employment, very hard to figure out in a short time frame if there's a positive or negative aggregate employment gains.
This seemed like such a pressing issue as the Republicans presented it in the Capitol 2 years ago. But a recent Wall Street Journal article found right to work has faded as a top priority for some Republican governors, such as Wisconsin's Scott Walker and Ohio's John Kasich. The argument is we had to become more competitive in the Midwest when the Republicans were explaining why right to work was important for Michigan. Why is it now not so important to our neighbors?
I think that the argument that was made that this would make a, I mean, at least some folks made an argument 2 years ago that right to work would be a shot in the arm to the Michigan economy. And I've suggested that probably it won't and hasn't. Certainly it hasn't been. Probably won't be. I don't say that there couldn't be any job gains as a result of it, especially in certain sectors. But I think that the case was overblown when it was made 2 years ago. I think, in fact, it was overblown on both sides. Those who advocated for the change made it sound as if we would have a dramatic renaissance of economic activity in Michigan. No evidence to believe that that would be true. On the other hand, those who argued against it sometimes made it sound like it was the end of the world. And in fact, unions have maintained their membership. As Patrick pointed out, the right to work law does not ban unions. It just changes the conditions under which unions can organize.
I wanted to ask about that. Were the claims by the anti-right to work protesters a little too hyperbolic?
I think so. That's my view.
And I'll just chime in. I did a quick Google search this morning of impact of right to work. And among the first half dozen, here's something from the National Education Association, and where the first word in the title is poverty, and where it says that the purpose is to destroy labor unions or freedom of collective bargaining, and that it says it lowers the standard of living. Here's one from the AFL-CIO, and again, this isn't rhetoric shouted. This is something on their website in writing right now. They lower wages and living standards for all workers in the state, from the AFL-CIO. And from the EPI, which is a labor-funded think tank, right-to-work laws do not boost job growth in states that adopt them, and they lower wages.
I wanted to ask you, there was a Michigan Capital Confidential article from the Mackinac Policy Center, which is a free market think tank, an anti-union think tank, I think it's fair to say. It noted the unions promised payback in the November elections, and now those threats, quote, ring hollow after the Republicans did so well in November. Democrats certainly didn't turn out in droves in election 2014. In fact, right to work was hardly mentioned during the campaign. So what do you think of that Capital Confidential assessment?
I would take anything from Capital Confidential with a grain of salt. They have a very, very strong slant. But, you know, it's true that Democrats did not do well in the election. And I think it's also true that right to work was a non-issue. I didn't see any, there may have been some, but I didn't see any candidates making that a centerpiece of their campaign, either the Republicans or the Democrats.
Patrick?
I mean, first of all, the Mackinac Center folks would not consider themselves anti-union. They clearly accept, though, the free market label. And I'll say I identified the clearly labor-supportive group as a labor-funded think tank, EPI, earlier. I think that's a fair way to assess them. And unavoidably, Democrats did extremely badly in the last election. The number one reason for that is probably what the public's opinion of Democrats, the Democratic president, health care law, lots of other things. Way, way down on the list was right to work. And I think the Mackinac Center's Capital Confidential columnist there said what a lot of people observe, which is, and by playing the sounds of the protest earlier in the show, you're in effect underlining the claims that the public would be outraged by the passage of right to work and throw out the politicians that put that into law were clearly way, way, way overblown. And in essence, the public came down to thinking, pretty much the way Charlie said, that they accepted it, and it wasn't that big of an issue for them.
So that anger kind of disappeared. It's not really manifested itself in political action.
I'm not sure how much anger there was actually among the average citizen. A lot of those protests, as we know from some of the law enforcement actions, involved people that were bussed in to protest, and some of the violence, which is completely unacceptable in my view, was perpetrated by some of those folks. And that's not to say they don't have a view. They do have a view, but that's not the reflected view of the large number of Michigan citizens.
I do want to chime in with one thing. You know, you mentioned the effects of unions on incomes, and I think some of the rhetoric that you read, Lester, was overblown. But, you know, there is research on the effects of unions over the long haul, and unions, especially in the middle of the 20th century, were a part of a whole series of trends that led to a great equalization of incomes and helped boost the incomes of some groups of sort of lower middle income workers. And then in the last 40 years, they've become a lot weaker. And we have seen that there has been the biggest economic phenomenon of my lifetime has been the phenomenal increase in income inequality. And the deunionization is, I think, only a small part of that. There are a lot of other factors that go into it. But I don't think we should disparage the effects that unions at least once had in terms of supporting the workers. I mean, if you like the weekend and if you like the eight-hour day, you can't be too much anti-union.
Let's bottom line this. We mentioned that it's been less than 2 years that it's been in effect. Of course, many union contracts lasted past that point and really weren't affected by this. If we haven't noticed any dramatic differences as of yet, when, if ever, will we in passing the right to work law in Michigan?
I think it remains to be seen. It could be we might see some evidence in a few years, although this is likely to be small relative to the swings of the national economy. If we look at the phenomenal growth of Michigan manufacturing in the 90s and then its big slide in the 2000s and then its recovery in the last few years, those have an awful lot to do with things like the national macroeconomy, the global competitive issues in the auto industry, and the price of oil. And it's hard to detect much of an effect of things like unionization on the overall job growth in the state.
Patrick, you get the last word.
As we had predicted and as we'd advised our business clients and as well as politicians 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, right to work is a very strong signal. I think that signal has been sent. Signals take a while to take effect. It will be hard for us to see businesses. I doubt any businesses are going to volunteer that they came here primarily because of right to work, even if that's the case. So it's going to be extremely difficult for us to identify specific employers or jobs. I do not think, and I guess Charlie and I agree on this, that you're going to see any data that show that it dramatically increased or dramatically reduced or even marginally increased or reduced Michigan's employment in the short term, but I do think it has a positive effect because of the general signaling it sends to the rest of the nation and to employers that Michigan is a much more employer-friendly state and the business climate is better, and I think that's overall positive.
That's Patrick Anderson. He's the CEO of Anderson Economic Group, and Charles Ballard, an economics professor at Michigan State University. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.